The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Are you excited? Are you excited about the season that we are in? No. You don't sound excited. Or you don't look excited. If you are excited, shout a big hallelujah! You know, we have already said 15 hallelujahs. We have already given 15 gosas. So I was saying, what other 15 can we give? So we're going to just do 15 thank you, Jesus. Is that a good idea? So join me as we begin to say, thank you, Jesus. 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 For 15 amazing years of God's Favorite House, you know, usually the days that I'm supposed to preach like this, I'm always tense, you know. But if you've seen me since morning, I've just been dancing. I'm really super excited about what God is about to do. So as I begin to teach, please do me a favor. Just be praying for me that the excitement will not carry me away. Hallelujah. Because God has been good to us. This season that we are in is a very prophetic season. So when the word has gone forth and said, occupy, you need to take it very seriously. Because when God speaks, he knows what he's saying. And when he speaks, he's not speaking from the point of, I am planning out what I want to do. He's speaking from the point of, it is finished. I have done it. It's for us to enter it. Hallelujah. For 15 amazing years, God, we are grateful. Let's just worship God a little bit, you know.
More than my mind can testify. More than my mind can comprehend. I've seen the wonders of your grace. So sure that this is not the end. To you and you, to you, and no one else but you.
thank you. We can see. We know. It is just your grace that has helped us. Thank you, Lord, for not giving up on us. So many times we strayed away. So many times we took the wrong direction. But you kept faith with us. You've held your church together. Your church is growing. And the gates of hell has not prevailed and will not prevail. Lord, we are grateful. We thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord. Take all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you. Let's put our hands together as we sit down. Hallelujah. Of a truth, we can see, we can tell, and we know it is by the grace of God that we are here today, 15 years, and still standing. Hallelujah. You know, I suspect that next week when the pastor is teaching, he probably will be talking about the history of God's Red House, where we started from. But I cannot stand here today without also sharing a little bit of my own experience. You know, I am privileged, opportuned, and I don't take it for granted, to be part of the beginning of God's Red House. And I know that there are some of you here also that started out with us 15 years ago. You know where we started out from? When we were in Protea Hotel. And like Pastor would say, he didn't even know after every service where we are going to get the rent to pay for the next service. But look at us today. Hallelujah. Look at where we are today. Sitting in a comfortable auditorium, fully paid for. Hallelujah. There was a time when we left Protea Hotel, we went to, what's that other place called again? KFA Event Center. We had some GWDIA service there. I remember how huge, how powerful it was. Then we left. We came to this event center, right? Scintilla. I remember how we used to be carrying all our equipment every Saturday to go and set up. Then we're tearing down again every Sunday. Then we moved to Orchid Hotel. That was a different ball game. You know, they gave us a big hall. There are times that we will be struggling to even have access to the big hall because of so many reasons. They'll give us a small hall, but we'll still hold service. We'll still hold service. And the church kept growing. The church kept growing. I remember, like, yesterday, the day we wanted to, like, have our first service here on the land. And I was taking a walk. This road that you see in Oral Estate today, with fully paved, nice, with trees. Oh, Lord, I bet. Debbie, you have that video, right? Maybe we'll see it next week. It was all sand and water. I remember I was talking as I was walking. I said, we're going to our promised land. We're going to our own place. That God is going to do amazing things. And here we are today, experiencing it. Hallelujah. Hasn't God been faithful? Hasn't God been faithful? We all have our stories. I mean, you saw the video about baptism Pastor Richard, in God's Red House, met Jesus, got baptized in God's Red House. Today is a resident pastor. Changed lives. Changed lives. Not only did God change his life, even his ASF has disappeared. Hallelujah. Don't worry, I took permission. I said I was going to dish him when I get up. Hallelujah. And because I wanted to dish him, I didn't cut my own hair today so that you see that I'm still having hair. Hallelujah. But God has been amazing. Lives has been transformed. Lives has been changed in different dimensions. And I'm sure that if we all stop to assess ourselves, we all have our different stories. Your story may not be full 15 years with us. Your story may just be 2 years with us, but you can attest that God has been good. You can attest that God has been there for us. You can attest that God has been with you. God's Red House is a safe place. God's Favorite House is a family church. You know, I said you should pray for me that excitement doesn't take me out of my script. But I'll try and focus on my script. Hallelujah. So God's Favorite House is a place where we all have been having testimonies. And that's why today we can celebrate and say 15 years has been amazing. So on days like this, when it is our anniversary, it is not enough to just look back. But we also have to look ahead. We also have to look ahead. Which is very, very apt that this season, God has spoken to us. He hasn't always gives us a word for every season. And this season, God has said, occupy. God has said, occupy. Which is why I titled the topic of today, the teaching for today, is titled, Occupy Till I Come. Grateful for the past, faithful in the future. Hallelujah. Grateful for the past, faithful in the future. We will take our first reading from 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. There are a few things that as we forge ahead, thinking about the theme, occupy, occupy till I come. A few things we need to look at. First thing is that we must look back at what God has been for us. We must look back in thanksgiving. We must look back in thanksgiving. 1 Samuel 7, verse 12 tells us about Samuel. He says, Samuel then took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshana. He named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. We too can look back and say, today we are celebrating, or next week we will be fully celebrating 15 years of God's Red House. Up to this point, the Lord has helped us. For the last few weeks, Pastor has been teaching us about higher grounds. He's been teaching us of how the teaching has been centralized around the people that climb the Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world. You know, and I also did a little bit of research while preparing for this, and I realized that, Pastor mentioned it though, that to actually climb Everest all the way, it usually will take anything between 2 and 3 months, and at times even more, depends on how you adapt or how you are able to take the journey. Anything between 2 and 3 months. Now, in the process of going all the way, there are stages in the mountain climbing where you have to get to and you have to pause. Maybe you have to pause because it is night, or maybe you have to pause because you are tired, you need to rest. Those points where we pause are not points of only looking ahead, but they are actually points of also looking back and saying, okay, I have done 10% of this mountain today. Praise the Lord. Those are points of reflection. Those are points of looking back in thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, it is more of looking back of, even though I'm going this direction, but this is how far I have covered. I usually will tell people that anytime I have a task or assignment or anything I need to do, usually I break that assignment into like percentages. It helps me, you know, I think in figures. You know, I like putting everything into numbers. If you're having a discussion with me and you're telling me you are coming, I'm always asking you, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, where just that's how I relate things. So, the people that are climbing the mountain, if I was to climb Everest, I would ask myself, okay, at this point, at this marker, what percentage is it? Because it encourages me. It helps me to be able to look and say, okay, how much more do I need to go? How much more do I need to achieve? Thanking God that I've achieved where or what I've done already.
So from the higher ground teachings, we understand that when you get to some levels, it's a point of reflection where you just say, I'm looking back to thank God. Now, those points of reflections, what I understood again from my own little research, is that you could be climbing Everest. Can't remember how tall Everest is right now, but let's assume it is 1,000 kilometers. Pastor mentioned to us that as you go, the oxygen becomes scarce. You need to take it slowly as you are going to be able to adapt. Because if they drop you suddenly at the highest point, the person dies. Now, as you are going, you get to a particular point at times where it appears like you have not adapted enough. And it is always recommended as, okay, come down a little, adjust to the lower level, then come back again. There are some times like that in the course of life. It is called the ups and downs of life. Those are also points of reflection. Those are points that we look back and we should actually be able to thank God for all the recoveries, all the times where it appears that we have had a setback, but God always brings us to recover. When you are able to look back, it helps to stir up gratitude in you. When you're able to look back and see how far you've gone, which is why I like the song that we sang earlier on. Say, Ezebube, see how far you've brought me. It's not a song about, see where you are taking me to, but it is, see where I am right now. I know there's still more ahead, but I am just so grateful for where I am right now. We are 15 years. Glory be to God. We are 15 years today, and we are at a point of gratitude. Because when we release gratitude, it actually unlocks even more blessings to us. When you are grateful for where you are on your ascent to higher grounds, it unlocks the resources required to take you all the way to the higher ground. When we are not grateful, without thanksgiving, it says that we are taking God for granted. In God's servant house, we will not take God for granted in the mighty name of Jesus. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19 tells us the story of the 10 lepers. It's a popular story. Jesus was walking into a town. He saw 10 lepers and they shouted, "Heal us, help us." Jesus looked at them and said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they were going, the Bible says that they looked at themselves and all of a sudden, they were healed. Out of the 10, only one, who is a foreigner, returned back to appreciate God. And Jesus asked in verse 17, he says, "Didn't I heal 10 men?" Note the word there, heal, underlined. "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? As no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner." And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Now, this is what I want us to understand from here. Jesus says, "Didn't I heal 10 men?" Because the guy came back to thank God, then Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you." So what did Jesus do before? What I pick from this is the fact that when Jesus speaks, he speaks it from a point of, "I have done it. It is settled." When you embrace what God has said he will do and you take action on it, especially from a point of gratitude, you make it to materialize. You make it to, it's as if you now activate that thing that has already been done. Without you being grateful, without you being taking action on the word that has been spoken, it can just be a word. That will not be your own portion in the mighty name of Jesus. God has decreed for us this season, occupy. Someone needs to start thanking God for the things that you are occupying. You need to begin to embrace it. Because the word has been spoken. God doesn't just speak flimsily. He speaks when he wants to do something. He speaks not when he is planning to do. He speaks when he has done something. So if this season we're hearing that the word of God is occupied, take it from me. You need to, as you are going tomorrow, going out tomorrow, Monday, your eyes have to be sharp. Your eyes have to be open. Where are those things I need to occupy? Where are those things? And begin to take possession. Begins to take action. Because therein will you be able to find it in your hands. And you will find it in the mighty name of Jesus. Looking back, you need to ask yourself, 15 years of God's favorite house. Like I said earlier on, your story may not be complete 15 years. It may be 5 years. It may be 10 years. But you ask yourself, at this point, is a point of reflection. What can you hold on to specifically that you are grateful for God's favorite house? You know, the song we sang at the communion service yesterday, it just ministered to me, and they sang it again this morning for the offering. I've got so many reasons to give you praise, oh God. You are good. It shouldn't just be a song. And I said it yesterday, for those that were here, go and journal. Those many reasons, take time, stop. Take a paper out. Bring your notes on your phone. Scribble it out, write it down. What are those many reasons that you can give God thanks for in God's favorite house? I'll share one testimony that I know. You may find it awkward, but I'll share this testimony, my personal testimony. In 1999, yes, I was at the NYSC camp in Yanokpadia. And as a young boy, I was trying to be a little bit rascally. So when everybody was supposed to join platoons, I just ignored them. Then towards, I think, what end of the first week in the camp, they now came and was very serious. And it was now like, if you don't join a platoon, you will not get your alawi or something like that. I can't remember what it was. But they made it mandatory. So at that point, I now wanted to join the platoon. So the platoon people that I wanted to join said they needed a footballer. I said, football. Yeah, that one, I play football now, no wala. That's how I entered into the field. Long story short, they gave me a pass. And I wanted to cross. And for some funny reasons, I twisted my leg. And I tore my, what they call, ACL. Those of you that are in the medical field, you understand. At that point, I did not even know that I tore the ACL. From 1999 till 2014, the ACL was torn, and I was technically going around with a limp. There will be days that I will be walking on the road like this, or just walking normally, and I'll just feel a sharp pain in the leg for the next 2 weeks. I'll be limping. Those of you know at those times, Mrs. Shomoye, you remember? They'll see me, Pastor, okay, what's wrong with your leg? Hey, it's just paining me, though. Don't worry, it will go. That's why I used to tell myself, that don't worry, it will go. And usually it will go. 1 week, 2 weeks, I'll be all right again. I'll go and live my life and on and on. Now, fast track to 2014. I decided that, okay, let me go and check the leg properly. I went to the hospital. I explained the history to the doctor. He said, okay, no problem, they'll do a scan. He pressed the leg, pressed the right and left, you know. He said, okay, no problem, that they'll do a scan. He did the scan, told me to come back 3 days after to check the results, and I went. As I entered his office, he said, okay, lie down. I need to check down your leg again. As I was panicking. I said, what's going on? He looked at the leg, looked at the scan, pressed it again. He said, what I am seeing in this scan, you are not supposed to be able to walk. At that time, if you think I sweat normally, that day, if you saw water. He said, what I'm seeing in that scan, you are not supposed to be able to walk. He said, You know, I started explaining that, okay, the leg muscle has what they call an ACL in front, sorry, a BCL in front and an ACL at the back. Those of you that watch footballers, you know when they say, oh, they're out with a groin injury, yeah, or something like that, that is usually the ACL that gets torn. So when the ACL is what? Hamstring, yeah. When the ACL gets torn, they can go in, do a surgery, and stitch it back. And it moves on. Had that injury, I says that, based on my story, that when I had that injury, 15 years earlier, that I tore my ACL. And the ACL is what keeps the leg. You see this way they are moving this leg now? That it is the ACL that doesn't let the leg just come like this. So those times that I feel those sharp pain, and now remember that it's true, it's like my leg just wants to go like this. That's what causes the sharp pain. Anyway, back to the medical story. He said that this in the scan, that they can't even find the ACL again. That it's because it's been cut for so long, it's so far away from each other that there's no way they can even do a surgery to stitch it back again. He said he doesn't understand why I'm able to walk. So he then asked me, what has been my lifestyle for that 15 years? And I explained to him. I said, I've been very active in sports, even though the leg has been paining me. I would play football. I would play lawn tennis with a bad leg. And I said, the only reason he can't give is that BCL in front, the muscle, they called BCL in front, because it realized the ACL wasn't there, that over the years, it developed itself to cover for the ACL. And that's why I'm able to walk. Now, all of this is just stories, right? And I've not said anything about coming to a GWDIA and someone laid his hands on me and I got healed. No, I've not said anything around that. Why am I saying it is a testimony? What made me continue to play football when I started walk and on was our pastor, Pastor Femi Munenyi. He would come every Saturday morning to my house. Kunle, let's go and play football. Not only did we play football, we started soccer cell. Soccer cell is pastor that introduced me to this tennis that I love so much today. It is pastor that made me have an active life. Today, if I don't play tennis in 2-3 days, I don't feel normal. And it is all those exercises that made the BCL to be able to cover for the ACL. Can you see the connection to God's Red House now? Can you see the connection to God's Red House? So if I had not been a part of this church, serving under our pastor, who was very devoted, he could have gone to play his own football alone now, but he will call me. He will call Pastor Val that time. He will call Pastor Medu at that time. He will gather all of us and say, yeah, everybody, plus those of us that know how to play and those of us that don't know how to play, everybody get on the field and exercise. Let's give God a big round of applause. That's my story. One of my many stories about my connection with God's Red House. I'm sure if you think deep, you'll be able to find yours too. It's part of what I'm writing down as my Thanksgiving appreciation. It could be your marriage that you receive counsel in God's Red House that is still standing today. It could be your children that a minister in God's Red House spoke to and their lives got to turn around. It could be your business that you got counsel in God's Red House. In 15 years, you need to look back in appreciation. Look back in Thanksgiving. Even as we are at this point of 15 years. I challenge everybody, as you sing that song, I've got so many reasons to give you praise, oh Lord. Bring it down to God's Red House. Think about it. What is that thing specifically that you will give God thanks for? What is that thing out of those many reasons that you will give God praise for concerning God's Red House? Hallelujah. Amen. Second thing that we need to do at this point of 15 years, we must occupy with purpose. We must occupy with purpose. Luke 19, verse 13. It says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. The KJV version. It says, occupy till I come. That word occupy is actually a military language. It says hold these grounds till I return. It means taking responsibility until the master comes. Occupy till I come. Like I said earlier on, when God tells us to do anything, it's simply because he has gone ahead to do it. He's just saying, fill the gap. Fill that space. Take the shine, if possible, self. Occupy till I come. I had a story of a testimony that a pastor shared some time ago, you know. So the story from the pastor is that it was the end of year. They were planning for their crossover service, all right? And he had been praying, you know, and God spoke to him. And God said, okay, this crossover, I want you to go to a particular hospital and go and pray over everybody that is there. I don't want any patient in that hospital to spend the crossover in the hospital. Yeah, I want to heal everybody in the hospital. And the guy was like, really? Ah. And the person that had been praying for healing power, they're praying for God to move. He got panicked, like, ah, that one was huge, Joe. Go into a big hospital and go there and pray, and everybody will be discharged. God said, yes, that's what I want to do. The guy said, okay, no problem. So he summoned his friends. He said, okay, this is what I heard. This is what I believe God wants us to do. And he started praying, and they were praying. And they were praying. And when they were done praying, he was still unsure. Bottom line, by the evening, when they were supposed to go to crossover service, the guy said he will go to crossover service instead. He went to the crossover service. And at the crossover service, according to him, he had a very powerful sermon about how, you know, how we must obey God and respond to God when God calls us. So in the morning, January 1st, the guy was now fired up. He said, okay, I'm going to go to this hospital. And as he was going, God said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the hospital. That one you told me. Don't worry, I'm sorry. Shebi, they're there. All of them will receive healing today in the mighty name of Jesus. God didn't say anything again. And he went to the hospital. And he got to the hospital, got to the reception. He said, please, I'm going to the ward. The receptionist at the help desk said, who are you going to look for there? He said, no, he just wants to go and pray for the people that are there, that they will receive healing. And the reception said, yesterday, miraculously, all of them just got healed and they were discharged. Powerful. When God says do something, God is saying, I have done it. Just go there and close the deal. Close the transaction. So if you look at it, what God was telling him is that go there, stand on the in front of them and declare, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And all of them will just be rising. That was the plan of God. But he didn't let that plan happen. Now, all of them have been healed. They've gone back to their places. Some of them will think it's the medicine they've been taking that has healed them. They didn't know, but it was the will of God. If this boy had just obeyed the word of God and had gone and stood in front of everybody there and said, in the name of Jesus, receive your healing, and they begin to stand up, would they doubt that there is power in the name of Jesus? Would they doubt if someone says, oh, this Jesus thing, Afabu? Occupy till I come means take hold, hold this ground until I return. Occupy till I come is a command, it is not an advice. It's an instruction, it's not a suggestion. Occupy till I come. You must occupy with purpose. Occupy with purpose. Get into the door and occupy the space. Take territory. Take territory. Joshua 1:3. God was speaking to Joshua. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Not that will I give to you. You get that? It says, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Meaning if Joshua had just kept walking all the way back then and had reached Nigeria, Nigeria today would have also been called Israel. If he had gone all the way from the Middle East and had continued walking till he got to South Africa, down South Africa there, God says, I have given you, not I will. It's not when you get there that God begins to make a plan that, okay, how do I chase these Yoruba people away from here now to bring the Jews? Done. Done. Occupy till I come. So to occupy, what does it also mean? It means to be productive. To be productive. The parable of the talents, you can read about that in Matthew 25. God doesn't want excuses. God wants results. Three servants. One was given 5 talents. When the master came back, he had doubled it. The second one, 2 talents. When the master came back, he had doubled it. The third one, 1 talent. Bible says that he said to the master, I know you are a very wicked person. I know you are someone that you like eating where you did not sow. You can imagine a servant saying that to the master. Wicked servants. Yeah. Say, you are someone that you like eating where you did not work. So this, I went to keep your money. I went to bury it so that I wouldn't have issue. You won't come and tell me that, oh, why did you enter into a bad business and you lost my money? Oh, yeah, take your 1 talent back. Be fruitful and multiply. It's not an advice. It is a command. It is a command. The things that are not fruitful with Jesus, they are cast away. They're cast away. This servant talent man that we're talking about, what did the master do? He said, take that singular talent he had, give it to the one that has 5 that multiplied it to become 10. The first example we gave also, those same servants, 10 of them. The one in Luke 19. You know, a lot of us, we know that story, right? Luke 19, that I read earlier on. He says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. The first servant brought back the 1 talent that he got. He said, I've made it, I've turned it into 10. The second one brought his own 1 talent. Said, his own 1 pound. I said, I've turned it into 5 pounds. The third one brought his own 1 pound. Also said, I didn't want trouble. Take the 1 pound I collected from you. Just the same scenario. He took the one that had returned the 1 pound, gave it to the one that multiplied it to 10, and they punished him. Now, this is where it gets very interesting. Read that story very carefully, because I also... maybe I didn't know this also until I was preparing for this. Read that story very carefully. A lot of us will think it's only 3 servants that got the 3 pounds. Bible says 10 servants. Luke 19, 14, if you can bring it up. Luke 19, 13 and 14, if you can bring it up very quickly. The Bible talks about 10 servants collecting 1 pound each. You see? And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Scroll, 14. Let's move, sharp. Verse 14, if you can. Okay. Bottom line is that only 3 of them came to account for the 1 pounds that they collected. So what happened to the other 7? Hello? Isigini? What happened to the other 7? They also collected 1 pounds. If you go to verse 29, you read what shockingly happened to all of them. They were all destroyed. So the one that had 1 talent and returned only 1 pound and returned only 1 pound, he was punished. The others were all destroyed for not being productive. We will be productive in God's Red House in the mighty name of Jesus. As we are productive, we will take territories.
in the mighty name of Jesus. Not being fruitful has repercussions. It has repercussions. Matthew 21, 18 to 19 tells us about Jesus also. Looking, the Bible says that Jesus was hungry. He saw a fig tree and he walked up to the fig tree seeing that, okay, there will be fruit here. Went there, he did not find any fruit, and he cursed the fig tree, and it dried up immediately. Anything that is not productive is useless. It's just occupying space for nothing. You will not be occupying space for nothing. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will not be just holding grounds for nothing. In the mighty name of Jesus. So why should we occupy? We have to hold our grounds faithfully. When we are saying that we are serving Jesus, we're not just serving Jesus for Jesus alone, but we are also fighting for ourselves. We are fighting for our families. We are fighting for our sons, our daughters. We can learn from this in Nehemiah, the story of Nehemiah when he was attempting to build the wall. As they were praying and building the wall, Nehemiah was also fortifying himself. He had people carrying swords all night as the wall was being built to ensure that the likes of the Sambalas and the Tobias were not able to come and destroy the wall. They held their ground. They held their ground. God is calling us to also hold our grounds faithfully, spiritually. God is calling us to hold our grounds territorially. God is calling us to hold our grounds generationally. God is calling us to hold our ground, specifically, generationally. We have a new generation now that is not even interested or not paying attention to the word of God. They are not interested because the world is telling them that it's not important. We owe it to God to hold our grounds faithfully. The third thing that we need to do, as we appraise a 15-year mark, is that we must move forward with faith. We must move forward with faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3 says, the vision is yet for an appointed time. The vision is for a future time. I like the NLT version. The NLT version says, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. For it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Isn't that comforting? He says, if it seems slow in coming, just wait patiently. Calm down. Mommy, calm down. For it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. We have to move forward now with faith. In God's favorite house, we would usually say, no small dreams. It is the concept of no small dreams that has brought us here in 15 years. It is the concept of no small dreams that has held us to this point over 15 years. But I dare to say at this point, that we must upgrade no small dreams because we must begin to dream even bigger. We say we must begin to dream even bigger in the mighty name of Jesus. We cannot limit God because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than what we can think or imagine. Exceedingly abundantly. And this covers all areas of our lives. We mustn't limit God. I remember one of my close cousins back then. He would say, people say the sky is the limit. For me, the sky is the starting point. That is someone that is saying, no, I'm not going to go with the worldly standards. I'm stepping up my game. And I look back now. I mean, the first time he said this thing to me was about 20 years ago. I look back at his life right now and I can say, indeed, the sky was the starting point. We mustn't limit God. If there's a dream that God is giving to you, if God has put it in your heart, he will surely put it in your hands. If God has put that dream, that vision, that idea in your heart, God will put it in your hands in the mighty name of Jesus.
As we move forward in faith, as we move forward with faith, we must be ready to work harder. We must be ready to work harder. 1 Corinthians 15:15 says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. It was just soccer that I used to follow Pastor to play. And when I was following him, I'll be honest with you, there were days that I followed him grudgingly. There were days I only followed him because he is my pastor. I could have said, okay, forget about it today. But God was working something inside of me that I didn't know. So what is it that is in your hands right now that you are supposed to be using? Olympiad is starting today, this afternoon, immediately after this service. Are you going to be part of it? Are you going to get involved? As little as it looks or as it appears, it may just be God saying that is your own ministry to start. It may just be God telling you there's something there for you. There's someone there for you to connect to. Pastor G was saying the other day about the sister behind her, how they met. It was through the Olympiad. You don't know the destinies that God is bringing your way just by making yourself available. Just by making yourself available. You don't know. Third thing we need to do as we move forward in faith is that we must be ready to trust deeper. Now, this is the one that me, I struggle with. And I'll be honest with you. Because at times, because we are human beings, when God has even said something, we may be blabbing it in our mouth, but our actions don't show it. We may be saying the thing that God has said, but our actions don't reflect that we actually believe the things we are saying. And I'm being honest. So, for example, when God initially said to us, Nigeria will win, I was always saying it, right? But deep inside my heart, I'll be honest with you, I was doubting how Nigeria will win. Some people grabbed it and ran with it and stole it. Nigeria will win. Dollar went from 500 to 1,600. Nigeria will win. Really? But guess what? God is not a liar. You have to choose who you will trust. To move forward in faith requires you to be able to trust deeply. To trust deeply means that you refuse to see the things that you are seeing as they are, but you see them as you want them to be. So I say boldly today, Nigeria will win. In the mighty name of Jesus. Irrespective, let dollar go to 2,000. Let it go to 5,000. Nigeria will. In the mighty name of Jesus. In my lifetime. Exactly. In my lifetime. Our resources may be limited, but God's supply is not limited. Our vision may be limited, but God's vision is not limited. In the mighty name of Jesus, we will trust deeply. In the mighty name of Jesus, we will work harder. Our dreams will be bigger. In the mighty name of Jesus, and God will take us even higher and higher in the mighty name of Jesus. So what is the assignment or what is it that we are supposed to do going forward? As individuals, don't bury your gift. God has said to us, occupy. You must rise up to occupy. Occupy what now? Doors are opening. Doors are opening ahead of you. God, doors are opening in front of you. Enter into those rooms and occupy. Don't enter into the room and go and sit in a corner. Enter and occupy. Enter and occupy. I had a friend in Port Harcourt back a few years ago. And I went to meet her in her office. And she had just gotten that job at that time, about 2 or 3 years. And she was telling me in confidence. You know, she took me to there, maybe like a waiting room. So I just gisting because we hadn't seen for a long time. And she was saying, you see that office? I'm in charge. I'm the one controlling the place now. Like I said, she just got the job about 2 or 3 years in a big organization. He said, I'm the one in charge. I'm the one controlling the place right now. He said, me, I can't operate in a place where I cannot be the one in full control. Honestly, at that time, I said to myself, what arrogance. What is wrong with this one? Not only you, but I know better now. Because God is saying, occupy. She was a Christian. She was a believer. God is saying, occupy. And I've watched her over the last 10, 15 years, how she has rose in that organization. And she's still occupying. Because she understood her assignment. She understood her assignment, her role. And she did not cower. She did not back down. She did not humility. She didn't go to go on and hide in one corner. She knows her assignment. And she's following through. God will help you. You will follow through. You will occupy as you ought to occupy. In the mighty name of Jesus. For us as a church, we need to occupy our community. Our community. We are a church of life groups. We are a church of small groups. Life groups is one of the expressions of our small groups community. If you are here, you are not a part of a life group, you need to join one today. Because that is the only way we can take over our community for God. Join one today. Or you have been thinking about it that you want to start one. Come and see us in the church office. And you will be equipped, empowered to start one. Maybe you are not even ready to host it, but you want to make your place available for one. Come talk to us. We are a church of small groups. In conclusion, as we mark 15 years, when we look back, we should be able to cry out and say, Ebenezer, this is how far you have brought us. This is how far you have brought us. And at the same time, we are able to look forward and say, God, ahead of us, we are going to occupy in the mighty name of Jesus. I decree and I prophesy over everybody. The next 15 years of God's Red House will be greater than the past 15 years. Your next 15 years will be greater than the past 15 years. We will occupy until He comes in the mighty name of Jesus. In our homes, we will occupy. In our schools, we will occupy. In our offices, we will occupy. In our careers, we will occupy. In our industries, we will occupy. In our businesses, we will occupy. In this nation, we will occupy. In the mighty name of Jesus. And so shall it be. In the mighty name of Jesus. At this point, I want us to just bow down our heads and bow down and close our eyes. You know, I want to give us an opportunity. Those of us that are here, maybe you are saved. You are not saved. You want to give your life to Christ. You have that chance now. And I want you to take that chance very seriously. Very, very seriously. Anything that is not productive, Jesus cursed the fig tree for not producing fruit. The master collected the talents from the one that had one talent and was not productive with it and gave it to the person that had five. And they punished him. You will not be punished in the mighty name of Jesus. But it is in your control right now what you want to do with the talents that you have. It is in your control what you want to do with the life that God has given to you. My advice, my recommendation, the first thing you need to do is to give your life to Christ. I want to give you that opportunity right now. Just raise up your hand wherever you are. You are here, you know you are not saved. But you want all of that to change right now. Just lift up your hand wherever you are and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We'll just pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Just raise up your hand where you are. I want to pray with you. To want to start that journey with you today. If you are online and you want to give your life to Christ, the instructions are scrolling on the screen. The instructions are there. Just follow the instructions. The online pastors will reach out to you. But if you're here physically in the auditorium, you want to give your life to Christ right now. Just lift up your hand wherever you are, and we'll pray with you. But if you are raising it up, raise it up above your head so that we can see it clearly. Raise it up above your head. Mahalia brashindi bahasidi katunde bahadi atari. Nikarianda bashande katarebo. Oh, maholi bashinde keterebo. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. We are grateful, oh Lord. We thank you for your goodness, for your kindness. Thank you for your word that has gone forth. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus that everyone that has heard this word, oh Lord, it will land on fertile grounds in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, these words will bear fruits in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, these words will do us good. And your name and your name alone will be glorified. Honor and glory we give to you, Lord. Honor and glory we give to you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Yes, you can clap better if you're clapping unto the Lord. Celebrate Jesus. And everybody say, God bless Pastor K. Thank you so much, sir, for being a blessing to us. God continually refresh and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed this morning? You can clap unto the Lord one more time. Praise the name of the Lord.